Welcome to the FemiPod. These are conversations about females for everyone to listen to, learn from, and engage with. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Esther Kewen, and myself, Lydia O'Donnell. Welcome back to the FemiPod. We are so excited to have you be here. And of course, I'm here with my bestie, Est. And we have an incredible guest with us. Our guest this week is a Nike running footwear product manager. Elliot Heath oversees the running portfolio across track, field, and road models. Prior to his role in Nike footwear, Elliot was an All-American collegiate middle distance runner and a professional Nike running athlete. He lives in Portland, Oregon, and coaches the Bowman Track Club, one of Nike's premier running clubs. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we are very good. Whereabouts in the world are you at the moment?
I'm in Beaverton, Oregon, at the Nike headquarters.
Awesome. Well, we're very excited to jump into your story today. At Femi, we really believe that your backstory into how you found running can really speak volumes about your current relationship with the sport. How you get into the sport in the first place really allows us to understand why you continue to show up in the sport regularly. Can you talk to us a little bit about your running journey, where you started and why you still run today?
Yeah, it's a long journey, or it's been kind of like a lifelong journey for me. The first time I remember running was my elementary school mile. We did a fitness test, and I had a really awesome gym teacher, Mrs. Martin, that encouraged all the kids to run really hard, even though nobody really wanted to. She somehow got everyone to run hard, and that was my introduction. And from there, really developed a love for it, and ran throughout my middle school and high school times, and then went on to run in college at Stanford. And then from there, I went on to run professionally for Nike for a few years, and moved from there up to the campus here in Oregon. Ran professionally for a few years, had a few injuries that ended up like ending my career earlier than I expected, but really the biggest positive that came out of that was kind of helped me find a passion for helping others with their running too, both with footwear as well as just coaching. So I could coach some athletes and also get to work on all the shoes now that I wish I had as an athlete. So I get to channel a lot of my passion vicariously through others and kind of their goals and endeavors now.
Amazing. We relate to that a fair bit, I think. Both Lids and I still kind of compete at a relatively high level, but we are also, you know, working with a lot of other women in running. So we get to continue that passion as well. So totally relate to that. If we could talk a little bit about innovation and how there's a real need for everyone to innovate. At Femi, we're innovating more specifically for women, and we know Nike are constantly trying to find ways to do the same. Why is this so important to both yourself personally and the brand Nike?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super important because, just all runners have their own journeys. And I think putting anyone making any sort of footwear or apparel or anything like that for one person, and then taking that to someone else, regardless of, I guess, their experiences and gender, that's why it pushes us to test with a really wide audience in all of our products. But I think specifically to women, I think they're not typically men. It's really important to work with the needs of all female athletes as well, making sure that sometimes, the benefits that athletes want, they can be not attached to a gender, but sometimes there can be a benefit that is more of a benefit to a female athlete. And that's really important to kind of give those athletes the best experience possible. So we're just on a journey with all runners, trying to give them the best experience possible. And if you're going to make that product at the end of the day, you really have to kind of test and have women and have men a part of the product from the very beginning.
Yeah, amazing. How has the approach to innovating for women changed over the last few years, and what sort of things are taken into consideration for women versus men?
I think one of the biggest things is just like starting our projects, anything that we do from the very beginning, thinking through the journey and through the training and through the use of female athletes first, and making sure that there's absolutely, there's no point in which you're just taking something that's made for men and taking it to women. What that means is from the very beginning, even in terms of conversations, before you've even started a project, talking to female athletes specifically, helping them guide the project from the start. And what we found is we've actually seen a lot of success with things that were built and guided by insights of female runners, and those being a huge benefit for women, and then actually them being a big benefit for the men as well. We found some great, actually, like women actually tend to be a lot more perceptive in their feedback. They're able to kind of perceive more acutely or with a higher fidelity to some of the differences in things that we test. And so they're actually really, really good testers that help influence kind of the finer details of the product that we don't always get as high fidelity with some of the men testers. So it's important. We start from the very beginning, and we've just kind of expanded a lot more with female athletes and our testing as well with every step of the process.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I feel like maybe this is just an assumption that I'm making, but I feel like a lot more women are more in tune with their bodies than men. I feel like because we are going through changes all the time, every day, we can feel quite different. We kind of have had to become more in tune with our bodies. So it's interesting that kind of translates into the research that you're doing as well.
Exactly.
Can we talk about running kind of in its entirety? There's obviously so many different types of runners and also so many different types of running that one individual can do. How does a brand like Nike try to deliver in all facets of running, you know, trying to constantly show up when you're looking at athletes who are beginner runners all the way through to those more elite runners?
Oh yeah. I mean, so we have a lot of product that some of the products would be like built for all runners. And there's kind of these evergreens of what a lot of runners need, you know, and sometimes like, in terms of like stability and cushion, and sometimes there's some things like that, that we might think of only an entry-level athlete needs, but actually like there are elements to that, that, even the most professional athletes need. One example is a stability or shoe, like a structure, like the Nike structure, where, that might be seen by some to say like, oh, that's, of course, like the best athletes in the world wouldn't need that, but actually like some of the best athletes in the world need it. And actually it's a need for more entry level athletes as well. There are some benefits that we're kind of constantly testing and that really do go across all the athletes. But then there's other areas where, when it comes to maybe, especially in terms of competition and like the stiffness of a plate or how aggressive a shoe is or how much padding is around it. A great example of that is within our track and field line, for example, we build our Rival series of product, which is kind of the entry level. And it's built a little bit more for young boys and girls that are entering track and field, and they need a little bit more protection than someone who is maybe at the top level of the sport and can handle a stiffer, more aggressive shoe. And so those are the areas where, again, it all comes down to identifying what the shoe is going to be used for, and then making sure to test specifically with those athletes to make sure that their voice is guiding the development of the whole shoe.
Yeah, that's cool. It's really interesting. I've always really resonated with Nike's comment around how every run has a purpose. And I really believe like every shoe has a purpose as well. And I've been running out in the new Alpha Fly 3s recently. I've actually worn most of my marathons to date. I've worn a different version of the Alpha Fly. I really love like how light they are and how responsive they are. Can you talk us through the latest updates to the new shoe?
For sure. Yeah. I'm glad you're getting a chance to try it and use it. And I'm curious about what that experience has been like. But for us, at least in updating the Alpha Fly 3 from the previous versions, we were really excited because we felt like we had a lot of, at this point, years of testing and feedback from athletes that we've had some things that we felt like we could go after. But still, we didn't want to like stop there and think that like, oh, we had tested all of the theories of AlphaFly to the maximum. And so we really did double down on testing overall for the AlphaFly. It's our most tested racing shoe that we've ever done, in terms of the athletes that we've worked with across the entire development process. But ultimately, we really focused on three things for the AlphaFly 3 and the update. One was we wanted to have it be a lighter weight shoe. The AlphaFly in general, it was just generally a light shoe, but we felt like we could make some significant savings there. And it was something where athletes felt like they could feel a difference between maybe the AlphaFly and the Vaporfly, and that was kind of influencing their decision. And with the racing shoe, if you can make it lighter, that's always like a really, really good thing if you can maintain the other benefits. So we focused on making it lighter, which it does come in about 10 to 15% lighter than the AlphaFly 2. So that was a really big one. Next up was just making it real a really smooth transition, improving the transition overall of the shoe. If you look at it right away, you can notice that it's the first AlphaFly with a connected bottom. And that's really helpful for runners of all different foot strikes, even runners that maybe have one foot strike at the start of the race, and then as you get to 35K and beyond, you might have a different foot strike. Having something that's accommodating of that and really feels propulsive and brings the magic of the AlphaFly and the energy return to life at all the different stages, that was really important. So improving that transition, which came to life in the continuous bottom, was number two. And then number three is just overall comfort, but there's a couple different ways that we tried to get after that. One area, like we did see some athletes that felt like there could be an improvement to the overall comfort of the arch area. And sometimes that's not like the biggest highlight of a update to the shoe, but we actually feel this is really exciting one and something that we focused on a lot was just adding a more accommodating arch shape to the shoe, making it so again, if you're out there for a marathon or something like that, or for a long time, it needs to be comfortable for a long time. And so a more accommodating arch area, and going along with that, a very soft and conforming upper material. So the new version of the Adamknit really focuses on being super lightweight, but if you pull on it, it really is conforming to the foot. And even if you look closely in the midfoot area, there are some very lightweight pieces of knit that come up and they hug the arch while maintaining a very soft and conforming toe box area. So the comfort of that, and then again the little cushion pods in the heel, that just kind of makes a really soft but containing upper. Also along the comfort level was just, this is maybe a little nerdy detail, but if you look at the upper, it's not processed at all. So oftentimes uppers have to make the eye stays or something like that. It requires another heating process to put extra material on. But this design of the Adamknit upper, it doesn't require that. So the eyelets are actually knit into the upper themselves, which removes any need for any extra processing, which allows the upper to stay really soft. So those are the three things.
It's such an amazing shoe, honestly. I feel like I'm getting sucked into using it more in my training runs because it makes running just feel so much more easier. And I thought it would be cool to just understand from your point of view as both a coach and a shoe designer, like what is your suggestion in terms of how often you should wear that shoe? Because I'm like, I want to work hard in training and I want to like make sure I'm pushing it in training so I'm ready to race, but I also am enjoying how easy it feels to run.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, it's a really exciting shoe for me to have kind of in the quiver as a recommendation for athletes. Just in general, being able to now have a racing shoe that allows athletes to go fast, but also I'm not concerned about whether they're having to trade off that benefit for protection. Just so often in the past, it's been more of a fast shoe meant a not protective shoe, and so. Really not having to make that trade-off is a really, really a huge benefit that I see as a coach and I see with athletes training, because not only is allowing them to go faster for some of their races and some of their workouts, but also they're recovering quicker, which is the best of both worlds, really. I'm not saying that I tell athletes to go out and run it every day, but I do tell them not to be afraid to wear it. And oftentimes what that boils down to is kind of a specific session. A lot of the specific, maybe long runs or longer workouts leading up to their marathons, maybe once every week or once every other week in the Alpha Fly, to really get comfortable in it and feel like they're super confident, but not worried that, I mean, they actually feel the best in the days coming off of the Alpha Fly. So again, that's a huge benefit to not have to worry about that. I can throw a lot of hard work at the athletes, but they bounce back really quickly. They've also started to bounce back really quickly from even just their races, and they seem to be more comfortable being able to race more often. And in a world where athletes are loving and enjoying racing, that's a huge benefit as well.
So exciting. Yeah, I'm still on the Alpha Fly 2, so I can't wait to try out the Alpha Fly 3. But I totally notice, even, you know, where it's at with the second iteration, I notice the same thing. Like, I bounce back so fast after hard workouts compared to, you know, if we think back many, many years ago with the really low drop racing shoes and how much that used to really hurt my legs. And Liz and I have talked about it a fair bit, and like how incredible these shoes are and so cushioned, and yeah, running a really long time at a fast pace, you can come back from it pretty well. So that's very cool and very exciting. At FEMI, we're all about inclusivity, and I think the Alpha Fly too many may feel like a really elite running shoe, so made for like the front pack of the marathon or those, you know, trying to run really fast in a half marathon. What's your take on this, and who can be looking at the Alpha Fly as their race day running shoe?
I'm so glad you asked, because that was just such a huge point of focus for our team, and something that we're really proud of is just bringing a shoe to racing that it is really a racing shoe for all. Don't get me wrong, like, we've continued to test with athletes pushing the absolute peak of the sport and going after world records and trying to, you know, qualify for really, really, really fast times. But it's a shoe. We've kind of adopted this saying of like, what is your breaking two? If, you know, if breaking two was the goal of one person, what's your breaking three or breaking four, or breaking five? If you look at some of the updates, and specifically that transition one that, you know, we talked about being accommodating of all foot strikes, something that's really, really exciting and delivers the benefit and the magic of the Air Zoom units, and that energy return, it delivers it well. We don't want just the pros to experience that. We want every athlete to kind of experience that. And so, we're excited that's kind of being brought to a much wider range of athletes, that they can be comfortable in it and they feel like it can be built for their foot strike. So, it's really exciting that it should be a racing shoe for all. I get super passionate about that whole goal oriented process, where you're going after something that shouldn't be something that's just reserved for, you know, the most elite athletes. Like, that's a process, and that's an addictive and very fun. That's the sport of running that I think every athlete has the opportunity to engage with, and it's a really positive experience. And the shoes can only amplify that. And so we're excited for the Alpha Fly 3 to go out to more and more athletes, really anyone chasing a dream or chasing a goal, whatever that is, the shoes built for you.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I feel like everyone deserves innovation and should feel confident and comfortable to use the technology that's at our hands, right? So it's exciting to see that it should be dispersed amongst all level runners. And when we speak to innovation, I'm very much a Nike Pegasus gal. I've been running in Pegs for probably about 15 years. And it just really blows my mind how, like, every year the innovation just continues to keep getting pushed. How does really Nike go about kind of pushing this innovation, especially in a shoe like the Pegasus that, in my eyes, is a close to perfect running shoe? Like, how do you continue to push the boundaries?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, I feel like there's always an opportunity to listen to athletes and just what they're saying and what their experiences are, if those change over time. There's also areas in which, like, we have a full innovation team that isn't just looking at, you know, any specific, like the whole product. Like sometimes our innovation is looking at little bits of new material or that can be used as a cushioning device. Or if you look at, you know, air has been a part of the Pegasus for a long time, but not the exact same air. And so there's ways in which we're innovating on even a technology like air to make it more resilient, more energy returning, lighter weight, all those different unlocks. Whenever that's unlocked in a general sense, then that's pretty exciting to our team to then see how can we apply that to the needs of different runners. And so there's constantly sharings that are happening amongst really experts in all of those different fields, whether it's materials or engineering or cushioning, that then, you know, they keep working on all of them, and we get to listen to the voice of the athlete and what runners are liking or not liking. And then the beauty of, I think, a good product is when we're able to bring those two things together of what's new in terms of materials and innovation, and what's new in terms of what runners are looking for or needing.
That's so cool. It's so interesting to hear, yeah, how much opportunity there is when, yeah, you look at the 40th version of a shoe and it's still there's so much space to grow and innovate. And it just blows my mind. Like I sort of slip on running shoes day to day and I'm like out for a jog. And you never think about the amount of hands and people that have been involved in this process to make your experience with that running shoe the best. So yeah, it's pretty cool to hear from someone that's deep in it, like how much goes into it.
Yeah, I've been blown away a couple times where it's, you know, I've worked on models, you know, within our running line and multiple versions of them. And every time I've been in the teams that I've been working on, I've been really proud and feeling like we kind of got to the best that could be, you know, like when we're launching those shoes. And then I've been surprised myself as to you get maybe just a month or two down the road and it's like, oh yeah, but I think we can do better. You know, I think we can do better. And so that process is an interesting one, I'm sure, to, like, you know, see from the outside, but it's certainly an interesting one to be a part of as well, where I think we're sometimes surprising ourselves as to what is new and what can be better, and going through that cycle.
It's just so interesting, like looking at your career as a whole, coming through, you know, being an elite athlete and then taking that into your career at Nike. Like, do you feel like you lean into kind of that mindset of setting goals, achieving them, and then lifting the bar, raising it, and continuing? Do you feel like that kind of comes into play with your job as well?
It absolutely does. I feel like not just my job, but I feel like I had some great coaches and people that impacted my life along the way. That, you know, they were coaches for running or even other sports or just mentors that instilled the idea of setting goals. And always a big part of that, like the two biggest parts of that that they always talked about was, you know, not just saying the goal, but kind of what are you going to do about it? And that mentality helps lay out some of our processes as a team of, like, we can have these goals for athletes, but then it really comes down to creating our plan as to how we're going to go about achieving those goals. And then the other component that I've kind of learned along the way is just, you know, what's the process of, like, resetting? Like, goal setting is a continuous process. It's not just something that happens once. And so every time that you maybe get to one of those benchmark moments, it's okay. In fact, it's needed to kind of have a reevaluation point as to where you're at. Maybe whether you were successful or failed at, you know, going after your goal. Part of the process is just, like, reevaluating and setting the goals again. And that's a very important part of goal setting, no matter what sort of part of life you're in, whether it's running or creating shoes or just daily life. Like, that those are some things that I learned from coaches along the way, and now speaking it to you, I'm realizing how much they're a part of my life. So
Definitely. Yeah, there's so much opportunity to learn from so many people, and like every experience you go through, yeah, evaluating it and taking what you can from it and, you know, taking it into the next process and making it better. Alongside that, something that Lids and I are very passionate about is staying grateful. I think running is such a privilege to be able to do, and it's something that, you know, is hard on the body, and it's you know, we've both experienced injuries and had times we weren't able to run. So, you know, over the years, we've realized how much gratitude we have towards running and how much it's changed our life. How do you show up when you're running day to day and, being involved in the sport constantly, and remain grateful for running and your ability to run yourself?
Well, that's a really good question. I would say I share a lot of the same, like, similar experiences in terms of that, really finding a sense of gratitude towards running, really through, like, maybe losing it a little bit over time, and at a period of, for the longest time, kind of taking it for granted, but then going through a period of time where wasn't able to do it, and that certainly has created a lot more gratitude for myself, not just like in the running that I do, but also for those that, we serve in kind of like creating footwear for, or that I coach, just those that are showing up to running as a passion, and doing it day after day. I have a lot of gratitude for the people that I guess show up and are influential in their running communities, because I think running is such a, it's something that's built on consistency, to really enjoy it and have success over time. Whether success is, however you define it, not just like race goals or just general improvement or enjoying it more, but it really does take a lot of consistency in showing up. And so I've found a lot of gratitude over times for those that just show up consistently, for themselves and for others. And that really builds into like the creation of strong teams. I think in running and with a lot of endeavors, but especially running, like you're much better served to do that with a community and a team of people, because you're going to have days where you might need accountability, and there's going to be days where you can provide accountability to others. And so just find myself being very grateful for those that commit to it for a long time, and commit to it through the hard and the easy, and show up for their teammates as much as they do themselves.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. That's why we're so passionate about community and the FEMI team of women runners that we have all over the world. So, yeah, thank you so much. Speaking of being grateful, we're very grateful for your time today. I know we loved the conversation, and I'm sure our listeners will absolutely love it as well. So, thank you for your time today, and we're super excited to see the innovation that will come out from the brand of Nike over the next 12 months. It's obviously a pretty big year in sport this year, so we're hyped to see what comes out of the brand.
Very cool. Thank you, guys. Yeah, Olympic years are always super exciting. And yeah, thanks for the time, and thanks for doing what you do. I think it's really awesome, the community of people and connection that you're creating. So awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.